day or 19th day of what happened. New Year's came and went. I know last year was the fastest year of my life, it felt like. And so time is not waiting on any of us. It's time to get busy. It's time to fill this church. It's time that we have to set aside doing things the way we normally do them. It's time to change mindsets. It's time to move forward. We should be having two services a Sunday. You know, we should have a big problem of our parking. Which that would be a great problem, to not have a place to park all the people that come. We're going to have to shuttle them in from somewhere. I mean, it's not a big thing for God. But our capacity, again, we've got to get ready. We've got to prepare ourselves, and that's the only way it's going to happen. And so we're calling on the Lord. We're calling. He hears us. We're not praying amiss when we ask for the harvest. We're not praying amiss. We are laborers, and we've been sent forth, and that's our job. So without further ado, I want to invite Dr. Kenneth Hughes up. Used to be called High Realm Ministries. I don't know if you guys still call yourselves that or not. You do High Realm Ministries. And he's going to take us into the higher realm this morning with the word of the Lord. Amen. We give him that honor right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, you're overcomers. You're here this morning. Amen. I hope we have some overcomers tonight. I think we have some authority over some of that, don't we? You wouldn't convince me with that. Yes, we do. I said, I believe we have authority over that.
Amen.
All right, good. Praise God. I realize a lot of things take place. We lived in Illinois for years, so if snow or sleet kept you out of church, you just didn't go because there's a lot of it. But the Lord had mercy on us. Well, we just look for you tonight, and I think I'm going to preach about Elijah this morning and Elisha tonight. So that might be interesting to you. I don't know. How many of you are still alive? You sat down and got quiet. Amen. We want to say this while I'm thinking about it. We want to say thank you for those who helped us go to the mission field. We had a tremendous time. Brother Harbor is with us, so he can tell you more about it than we can. But we've seen pretty close to 300 people come to the Lord. And our forte is to get them saved and filled with the Holy Ghost at the same time. So we just go on and take them one step further, and they don't have time to learn anything to tell them that's not for today, or they can't get it. They just go ahead and receive, and they don't even know what they have, but I'm sure they're finding out. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so we had a lot of, there's never any way to describe all the miracles that you see and healings and things of that nature. You just cannot, you need somebody, you need a, I forget the term, something starts with an E. And well, some of the Old Testament prophets had somebody write down the things that they saw. You need somebody along with you. Write this down. Put this down. And so God, anyway, I want you to know we thank you. We used every dime that you gave for the salvation of souls and for the changing of human lives. Praise God. So, and to God be all the glory. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. I overstudy. I come with a set of three sets of notes, which gives me a problem. I'm not sure which one I'm going to use, but I don't think I'm going to use any of them. I think we're just going to flow. Is that okay? Yeah. Praise God. Amen. I want you to stand on your feet and let's pray one more time, please. I know you need to just get up and down. You need to exercise. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit, who is the teacher of the church. We do not presume for any time or moment that we have that ability in and of ourselves, but we have it because of him anointing us to do that which you have called us to do. We'll stand fully in that office that you've called us to today and walk and flow in that anointing that is appropriated for that purpose. and let the name of Jesus Christ be magnified and glorified. We take authority over everything that's not of God and bind it in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, for the releasing of the angels of God, for the Spirit of God, and for the anointing to flow in this place to instruct the hearts and lives of people, to change them from glory to glory. We thank you for that in the name of Jesus. We subdue anything and everything that's not of God and release everything and all that is of God in this place. We give you glory, anoint our mouth. We speak as the oracles of God and give us ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church. And when all has been said and done, to God be all the glory in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Tell somebody I'm going to receive something while you're sitting down, please. Amen. Amen. You know, we want to give Pastor, I know he's got something in his heart for this coming year, and I'm a little reluctant about saying some things because I want you to understand, he has the mind, heart, and conscience of God to this church.
That's right.
And as long as I'm a minister in here, I'm going to be submitted to that. Now that flow, and I'm going to try to work accordingly. And I've told him face to face, I said, if I ever get out of line, just smack me around. You know, don't let me get by with it because it's my heart's desire to flow and move with him and be a blessing and not a cursing. And you know, I pastored a church and everybody in it was called to the preach. Well, I think you probably all are called. I believe God calls people to do different things, various things. But God didn't call everybody to fulfill the pulpit. Sometimes he has a pastor. That's why he put pastors in the church, for the purpose of instructing and bringing unity and things like that, Ephesians 4. And so we want to always flow with that. But I am going to say this much. And I typed out about 3 or 4 pages. I don't know what to do with what I typed out. Because it's a little more heavier than what I'm wanting to say, and some things I don't want to say, and some things I will say, and I want to know what God wants me to say. And very seldom in the last 4 or 5 years, if somebody say, what's going to happen next year, I say the same thing. That's all I could have. That's all I had. I couldn't say anything different, just the same thing, because the Spirit of God didn't speak to me. I've learned that the catalyst for the supernatural and the miracle working of God is to hear and follow the voice of the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to say something he didn't tell me to say, and I'm not going to keep my mouth shut if he did tell me to say it. Amen. You got the chance to run right then.
Amen.
But I'm going to say what he said because God didn't call me to be your prophet. He called me to be his prophet. Amen. And that's what I'm going to do to the best of my ability. I shudder to think about it. He was on the phone. Our son, he lives in Illinois, and when he calls, he's at least a 4-hour telephone call. So I was on the phone with him yesterday and talking about a lot of things. But, you know, there's a lot of people saying a lot of things at this point in time in the earth, and you have the responsibility to discern what they're saying and if it's truly from God, and you're not to believe everything that you hear because some things are not of God. Some things are of a man. And one thing I found out from God's people, they don't have the ability to discern things properly sometimes. You're good people, and you love God, and you have a heart for God. But sometimes we come up a day late and a dollar short, and I'm included in that crowd too. Sometimes I miss it. I don't want to miss it. I'm trying not to miss it. And by the grace of God, I'm not going to miss it. When I say something the Lord says, I'm going to say the Lord said it. And if I'm going to say the Lord said it, he better have said it. It's like when, I heard my brother attended Jerry Savelle's church. Jerry's going to be with the Lord now. But he said he got up one Sunday morning and said, the Lord said this and the Lord said that. And Jesus spoke to him and said, that's the first time I've heard about that. That's kind of tough on you, especially when you stand in the pulpit and you got to deal with it right on the spot. Amen. Praise God. But I believe we're going to have a lot of things that's going to shake up the body of Christ in some ways. Things that are difficult, not always bad. Sometimes they lead and prompt us and push us to seek God in a much deeper level. Huh? Alan talked about passion. I agree with that. I believe that passion needs to be turned up. It needs to be. You need to be heated up. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the fire of God. If we go on and do that, I don't know what we're doing right now. I'm just kind of feeling my way around. But I believe, there's parallel truth. Truth can be parallel. In other words, what's been said and done in the world can be done in the church. A lot of times, it's to the negative effect. But you can have parallel lines this way, like this. I'll show them to you that way. One thing is going this direction. One is going that direction. They're both truth, but they have opposite results. Are you here? So in the world, there's a lot of shaking going to be shaking going on. And some of it's going to bleed over into the church because judgment begins at the house of God. Since we're going to talk about fire, we're going to see some incidences of it where judgment was involved in it. But so there's going to be an uncovering. I've been brought to understand, looking at Matthew 13, that there's going to be an uncovering. The separation, I'll put it this way, the separation between the wheat and the tares. Wheat, tares. Parallel doings and workings, but going in the opposite direction. The purpose of a tare is to destroy the nutriment and all that's involved with feeding and maturing and blessing the body of Christ and to pull them away, whereas the wheat needs its nourishment, it's going to feed, it's going to do all the things that's on the positive side. We're running side by side. Let me tell you something. You can see it in the world right now. In that particular scripture in Matthew 13, verses 31 and down for a few verses, he talks about the tares and he uses the word stumbling block. I think about verse 35, 36. I'm not going to turn there, but you can read it. You read the whole chapter and you'll get it. The word stumbling block is a word we would use in the Greek would be the word we'd use in English called scandalon or scandal. And I don't know how many scandals I've heard of. I heard of one this week. I've heard of one here or there, and I hear one all the time you hear it. And it's easy to get your eyes up on that, and I'm not suggesting that you do, but at the same time, don't be spiritually dumb and ignorant to realize that there's some things going to come out from under the cover that's going to shake the foundation of your faith. And if you don't know that, if you don't realize that you're secure in God, you're going to lose it. Thank you for that overwhelming amen. But it's true nonetheless. And scandals, on top of scandals, on top of scandals. Church, I heard of a ministry this week that I would have never believed that there were some situations going on in that ministry like that because there are people, he's a preacher of righteousness. And yet it's there. So nobody is void of that problem. We just got to be prepared. Right on, and if I stayed there, you would be miserable and get up and leave before tonight you ever got here. Amen. But we're not going to stay there because while in the world, negative things are taking place, scandals and all kinds of uncovering and things, I mean, in the church and in the world, at the same time, simultaneously, going in the opposite direction is going to be a move of the Holy Ghost and outpouring of the power of God and the miracle working power of God. It's going to work. You can't. Pastors made reference to it, and the scripture makes reference to it. There's a coming manifestation of the glory of God. And when that glory of God comes, it's going to expose things that are not right, but at the same time, it's going to cause the body of Christ to shine. One of the key words when you start preaching about the glory of God is that it shines. It's a light-giving process in the glory of God. That means all secret sins are made manifest in the light of His countenance. In His countenance, as we go from glory to glory as we behold the face of Jesus Christ. So we know that the glory of God and the face of God are associated one with another. So while He's smiling on the church, everything that's not right is coming up under the cover. And I said to our son yesterday, I said, you know something? If I wasn't making the endeavor to live right and I was doing something that was unclean, right at this particular point in time, the way God is moving, well, I would just go somewhere and find myself an altar and get down on my face and cry out to God Almighty that I got things right. Thank you for that wonderful enthusiasm. Well, I'm not just saying to you, I don't know what you need. You know what you need. But we just circumvent and go out. But this is not the time to be playing church. It's over. the way we have known it in days gone by. It's over. That's not going to happen. It's going to go back. It's going to go back, and we're going to see. I'm going to talk to you about some fire. I'm going to get off of this and get on the fire thing, because I want you to see. When you know the California, you all know about that. It's burning. It's horrible. It's, you know, I feel. But at the same time, I am made to wonder, in light of what the Lord said to me, is there any judgment involved in all of this? And yet, at the same time, there's going to be blessing that's going to come out of it, and God's going to redeem and bring people through it. Hallelujah. I don't know. I don't have the final say on that, but it awakens me and awakens my consciousness to the fact that this is an awesome time. I heard one preacher say about our election, it was not an election. It was I forget the term he used, but basically God has given us another chance, put it that way. The Lord said to me, I never said it to too many people once in a while, I said, I know that Mr. Trump is going to win it. My wife would say to me sometimes, well, it don't look like he's going to win it. I said, yeah, he's going to win it. He's going to win it. God is going to give, has given the church a reprieve. Yep. Yeah. You're getting a chance. You fool around and you will never get this chance ever again. And you better not take it. And I'm talking about the whole church, not just you, but that you and I are part of it. And I realize the gravity of our situation and what we're in. And we need to utilize every moment to glorify God. We need to be in every time that we can have an opportunity to be together, and corporately, because God deals with things individually and he deals with things corporately. And there's a whole lot more access to the glory and presence of God in the corporate situations. In other words, corporate prayer, corporate gathering for the preaching of the word, all of those things are powerful. The faith level's higher. The possibility of miracles taking place is greater. And so you wonder about what the scripture means about the great falling away. Well, personally, I think that sometimes it refers to the apostasy. I think it means just people just going to fall away from the faith. But you got preachers standing to pull people, and we don't have one. But they won't preach the truth. They won't tell you what God wants you to hear. They won't say it because they're afraid they're going to lose their money. They're afraid they're going to lose their crowd. And what they don't realize is that they may very well lose their salvation. Because what we're required to do is to tell you what, say to you what God said. And if we do not, your blood is required at our hands. When I accepted the ministry and the call of the ministry, I accepted that fact along with it, even though I didn't know what, if God would have said to me, Kenneth, I want you to go preach, and I'm going to call you to the office of a prophet, and I want you to tell people like it really is, and I want you to da da da, and you went down the line, I said, forget it, God, go get somebody else, because I wouldn't have done it. I would have never been the way I am about some things, but I do my dead level best, and that's a poor way to say it, but I do my best to live as clean, as pure, as holy as I can, and I realize that one of these days I'm going to stand before the God of the universe, and I'm going to have to give account for everything I ever said, ever did, ever anything like that, and I don't know what that does for you, but that scares the daylights out of me. And I'm going to tell you something. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We don't like to think about that sometimes. We think about fear sometimes in a negative context. But how else can you think about it when the Bible said, and this is one of the scriptures of God, our God is a consuming fire. Yes. Amen. I put a little bit on Facebook about that. I didn't get too many hits, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. Amen. Okay, let's get going. What do you say? Can we do that? Well, thank you for your wonderful enthusiasm. Goodbye. Good morning. You can go home. Yeah, don't sound like you're here right now. Now, I'm going to go. I've got these scriptures in here, but I'm going to see if I can find them for just a moment. Jeremiah 5:14, the Lord quickened this scripture to me, where he said, and it talks about fire. Wherefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because he said, actually, I'm going to tell you why this scripture was quickened to me, because I was praying, Brother Allen. I said, God, I don't know where my passion is. Do I have the level of passion that you want me to have? I ask questions like that. Unfortunately, sometimes he answers me back. and sometimes I don't want to hear it. It's not unfortunate, but sometimes I don't want to hear what he answers back. But I ask him. I've often said to the Lord, I said, you know, some of these preachers that's messing up and doing goofy things, I said, you know, living immoral and doing immoral things. I said, you know, if I did that, you'd kill me. I said, how come that's so with me and you don't kill them? He said, because you asked me when you got saved to make sure I told you what I wanted you to know so you wouldn't mess up. So you're getting what you asked for. You have not because you asked not. Is that right? God, this is such a lively crowd. I can't understand. But no. Anyway, so that's how come we to get this scripture. Quicken to me. So you go start again. So wherefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because you speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire. Fire! Hallelujah. Fuego! Make them fire in your mouth. Hallelujah. You know, you can't play around with fire. Huh? And God said to me, and I kind of put this way on Facebook, I said, the prophets, the true prophets of God, there's a whole bunch of false ones. You realize I was studying about Elijah because I knew it was going to go this route. Didn't know how far it'd go. 850 prophets of Baal against one. Huh? Yeah. I mean, 850, that means the ratio is whatever percentage that would be. Some of you mathematicians can tell them probably real quick. But extremely heavy ratio of false prophets. The Bible said in the last day there would be many, many, M-A-N-Y, many false prophets, which throws up a red flag and says, get your brain turned on and start paying attention to what's going on around you, because there's some things that have been spoken into your life that God, that I didn't say. And that's what my son and I were talking about. When we say, thus saith the Lord should have said it. He better have said it. Because the thing that, the catalyst from the miraculous for signs and wonders is saying what God said, hearing what God said, and obeying what God said. Amen. Huh? We don't get no choice about it. There's no option about that in one sense. I mean, if we're dedicated to follow him completely and do what he wants us to do, then we're going to have to do what he said when he said do it. Right. I remember years ago God told me to deal with a preacher who was having a problem with overeating. And I said, God, I don't want to do that. I mean, you know, you don't want to mess around with people's habits, eating habits and things like that. You get yourself in trouble. And so I just said to the Lord, and finally he talked me into it, and I said, well, okay, I'll do it. Okay, you know, I lived in Illinois, I had a place, I call it the Elijah Brook. You go over through a field, go down around the hill into the woods and find a little brook and a little place, and I sat on a log and pray. And so I'm down in there praying. I finally said to the Lord, okay, I'll do it. I'll tell him. I know it ain't going to go over good. It was two preachers God told me, spoke to me. You don't tell preachers anything. You can't tell preachers anything. Shake your head, amen, because you know how us preachers are. It's hard to get a hold of. It's hard to get to us sometimes. We're set in our ways, like you. Now, you didn't think I was going to let you get by with anything, did you? So I said I would, and then I got to church on Wednesday night, and our pastor had been a friend for 25 years, and I trust what he says. When he says it, he lives in Illinois, he trusts what he says. When he says it, it's so. We've got prophetic things that he's given us that every one of them has come to pass to us and our family. And so having said that, I'm sitting in a church, and the Lord said, and I was going to this place to preach, this preacher that God wanted me to talk to, going to this place to preach, and he said, so I'm sitting there. I said, you know, God, I know I said I would, but I'm just not going to do that. Because the Lord said to me, he said, if he don't change his eating habits, he's going to die. So his life was in jeopardy. So I had to tell him, stop being a glutton. I didn't say it that way. And start judging yourself where eating is concerned. And so I'm sitting there in it. It's kind of like God told Samuel. I'm going to judge Eli. I'm going to judge his household. I'm going to bring destruction upon him because he has not dealt with the sin problem. He was a preacher that was in a scandal. And he didn't deal with some issues. You know, it's not easy to be a preacher. It's not easy to be a pastor because you know a lot of things about a lot of people, and some of them you like to just haul off and slap them real good. And don't act like I'm talking about you now. But you just want to say, wait, straighten up your act. You know, but you have to, as a pastor, you got to be a friend. As a prophet, I just have to kill you and take a chance to be able to get out of the church alive. But don't ask me to say that again. I don't know what I said, but God said to Samuel, probably what, about 15 or 16 years old, maybe give or take a little bit one way or another, said, I'm going to bring judgment on him. And Eli knew that God talked to him, and he said, tell me what he said. And I'm sure he wanted to say, not right now. Let me grow up a little bit so I can defend myself. But he didn't say, but he said, I want you to say it. If what the Lord told you, you don't tell me, let it come on you. So I'm sitting there in the seat, and the Lord's doing, and I'm having a conversation with the Lord. It's a Wednesday night service. I'm shut in. Like I get around here sometimes, God locks in. I lock into something, and I don't hear nothing going on around me half the time. So I'm sitting there thinking, I'm just not going to do this. This is a friend. I don't have so many. I can afford to lose one. And on top of that, you know how I'm going to say such a thing as that to that person. And I'm sitting there thinking about what I'm going to say. And then the other preacher didn't want to hear. I knew he wouldn't hear anything I'd say. But anyway, I'm dealing with it. And my pastor walked over. And now he don't know nothing. He don't know anything about what's going on. I hadn't even told my wife. I hadn't told nobody. I just simply sitting there in that seat, and he walked over and walked right up to me and said, thus says the Holy Ghost, are you going to say what I told you to say when I tell you to say it, to whom I tell you to say it to? And I thought, well, yeah, I'm going to do that. Oh, yeah. If you don't, it's going to come on you. I said, I'm going to do it. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. So you get the clue. You get the understanding that you got a lot of people in the ministry, and I ain't pointing out anybody, or I ain't suggesting anybody. I'm just simply saying you got a lot of people in the ministry. I've lived there and been in long enough. I understand that they are cowards. That's right. When it comes to saying what God wants them to say. I wonder how much of the move of God has been dwarfed because we didn't say what he told us to say. I wonder how much of depletion of the glory of God we have because we didn't say what he told us to say. I wonder how many people has gone to hell, that's the extreme end of it, that did not hear what they needed to hear when they went to some church that didn't have enough guts to stand up and say what the Holy Ghost told them to say. This, you know, God can be a little rougher than man sometimes. He's sweet about it, and he's nice about it, and he says it in a way that it's hard to get offended, but you realize that he means what he said and said what he meant, you know. And so when you talk about preaching out of fire, and Elijah, man, he didn't mix no words with anybody. I mean, he got 850 prophets, and he said, we're going to prove today who is God. You've been serving Baal. He got right smack dab up in the middle of him. And here's another thing I'm telling you is coming. Here's another thing is coming. There's coming a confrontation between the true and the false. You can count on that. It's going to happen. And we may not see it, and we may not know about it, but there's going to be, and it's probably really happening. I've been listening to some of these confirmations, and I thought they were kind of funny in a way, especially the Secretary of Defense. He had three devils manifest in that service while he was trying to get his done. Yeah. Amen. Screaming and a holler. And I thought, oh, yeah, I've heard that before. Yeah. I mean, it's nothing like preaching preaching one time here in Roanoke in my uncle's church with all of my family there. And I'm standing in the basement praying, getting ready to go upstairs to preach. And the Lord said, I'm going to manifest, the devil's going to manifest in the service tonight. And I said, oh, thank you. I just can't hardly wait. I didn't say that. I said, God, no. I mean, you know, I found out a long time ago your family is not always with you either. But So I went up, and some little lady and a little boy sitting right there. He was about 8, 9 years old, and I never seen a woman move so much up and down that seat in my life. I got to preaching. You see how I come out this morning, kind of slow and taking it easy, kind of getting you ready so I can kill you later. But and Mr. Finesse, right? I ain't doing nothing I planned on doing. I say, what have you been doing that's making me do this? And so it's up and down, and got up, turned around, and messing with her purse and everything. I thought, I come out like a shot out of a cannon. Man, I hit that pulpit, and I started preaching the minute I hit that pulpit. I mean, woo! You know how you build up to it, and you get to really preaching. Well, I started off there. And took off like a house of fire. And finally, she just got up and went down through the middle of the aisle and turned around and said, Mr. Hughes. And she's talking to me. Mr. Hughes. The devil, I'm turning around. She said, Jesus Christ is not famous for hollering when he preaches or something like that. And I thought, well, if he'd been here, he'd probably hollered at you. I didn't say it, but I thought it. And turned around, went out the door, dragging the little boy. He didn't want to go. He liked what was going on. He was smarter than she was. He wanted to stay there. He liked the presence of God. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, it's funny. And I've had tons of stuff like that happen over the years. Well, you know, let me get off of that political stuff. But when fire begins to flow out of the mouth of the true prophets of God, that's going to cause some movement. I mean, people are going to respond. You know, if they need to repent, they repent. If they need to get closer to God, whatever they need, that fire is going. You can't get real close to fire. You cannot get real close to fire without getting burnt. Right. You know, I was thinking about this because I helped fight some fires when I lived here back years ago as a kid, about 15, 16 years old. And I know a little bit about the fire line. Probably has changed a lot, and I don't know a lot now in relationship to what they have now. But when you fought a fire, you built a fire line, set a fire, and let it burn back to it. And that fire sometimes had a possibility of jumping that fire line. And you better be ready to move, boy, because if you don't, you're going to catch on fire. Well, some people's got a fire line, and they're counterproductive. They don't want to get in the fire. They put a boundary, Brother Allen. They've got a boundary line, and they say, we don't want that fire to get too close to us, so we're going to kind of build a man-made fire. That's what that is. And can build a man-made fire and let that suffice, and nobody will know that we're dead in the water. Huh? And we can act like we got some fire, but we don't have no fire. Right. I started this message off with a pyromaniac. How many of you know what that is? Oh, yeah. How many of you don't know anything? How many of you are not going to commit to what you do know? A pyromaniac is someone who likes to set fires and loves to do it. Yeah. And I thought, God needs some divine pyromaniacs. That's what God needs. He needs somebody that's on fire that wants to get it to somebody else. The pastor prayed for everybody in there Wednesday night, and we helped pray a little bit along the way for get fire. And so I'm hoping he got fired up. So you ought not be afraid of no ice storm. Hallelujah. Just turn the fire up and keep driving. Hallelujah. Or snowstorm or anything else. Well, I'm joking around, of course, but I don't want you to endanger your life. You might not be ready for heaven. But man, I'm feeling highly prophetic this morning. I don't know why that's so, but it's so. But anyway, so they build a little line. You know what? And God jumps. Let me tell you what's going to happen. What's going to happen in this coming year and the years to follow? It's not just 2025. It's going to go beyond that. God is going to do what he said in Joel 2, what he's always done. When there's a move of God, the one that fights the move of God the most is the ones that that was in the last move. Because they think they got all the truth there is, but they don't have all the truth. We have bits and pieces of it. God wants to put it together. He wants us to, you know, we didn't have, when I started off in Pentecost, we started having the charismatic move, and boy, the charismatics are crazy manics. and did all kinds of things, and some things that we'd never seen as Pentecostals, and some of the Pentecostal people had a hard time with that. We don't want them crazy charismatics in this church to leave them out of here. They believe in casting out devils. No, we believe in keeping them. Don't lay hands on them and cast out devils. We believe in keeping them. We want our devils. Keep them. Huh? Preaching kind of like it was in South America. Hallelujah. Amen. And so we didn't know what to do. And then come along behind that, there come the Word and Faith movement. That's a powerful move. It released truth to the earth. It did things that we needed to know and need to hear. And then we got various other facets of that, like the preach about authority and things like that. Then you got the prophetic, and I call it the pathetic move. Because there's some real in the middle of all of that, but it's hard to find. Many false prophets, but few of the true. Few are called to the fivefold ministry. Few are called to the ministry. If those few is called to the fivefold ministry, then divide that by five, whatever few is, and realize maybe one out of ever so many gets put in a prophetic ministry or apostolic ministry, whatever. And so that's been going on. But now we got people who think they are beyond correction. They're beyond at a point where they can do what they want to, and it'll be all right to get by with that. But God's keeping the record. And that kind of stuff is going to come up under the cover, and it may be your favorite prophet. Come on here now. Pastor may never let me preach again in here after today, but I'm sorry, Pastor, you're gone, and so better hurry home for tonight. Maybe it'll be easier. I don't know. But you got people that need the adjustment. Right. I had five little wonderful points. I'm better not tell them because I might preach them tonight, that goes along with this thing. But I call it definement. Confinement, refinement, alignment, and assignment. And I got things I want to say about all that. And there's some things involved with that. You just don't get any prestige. And first of all, if you get more, you want prestige, don't go to the ministry. If you want to praise the man, forget you can get that. The thing that got Herod in trouble was that he had a class of people that praised him when he did evil. And he thought he was a god. He did not know how to adjust that. And you know, I've seen some of them just walk out on the platform and people praising God, and you'd think that they thought, and I don't know what they thought, but you'd think they thought, they acted like they thought, that all of that praise was for them. Yeah. But it's the God in them that makes the difference. It's the God in me that makes the difference. I don't make no difference. I'm just a piece of mud like you are. And you know, I can't do anything apart from the Holy Ghost. My brother, when I get the Holy Ghost on me, I ain't standing second to nobody. You understand what I mean by that? I don't mean I'm anything. It just means the Holy Ghost is he's out front. I want him out front. See, Isaiah, one of the things that's associated with the glory of God is smoke. We had an old saying, you used to say, where there's smoke, there's fire. Well, you know, I preached in nothing against the Baptists, because I'm sure they're not all like this, but I preached in a Baptist church over in it was Asheville, wasn't it? We lived in Asheville, North Carolina for several years. And I was amazed that, you know, our neighbor was a Baptist lady, and we talked to her, and I tried to read her something out of the New American Standard. She said, oh, no, we don't read that Bible. We use the King James and one in Paul. And I heard that people make a statement, but I never heard nobody say it, actually say it. She said, we use the one Paul and Peter use. I said, well, okay. So I didn't know how to answer. I didn't want to discourage her, but I wanted to let her know there's some enlightenment in other versions. And so they invited me to come to that church and preach. God, I had never been to a Baptist church in my life. I've been to Catholics. I've been to Episcopalians. I've been to Lutherans. But I've never been to no Baptist church because, you know, they're a little more aggressive, I guess would be a nicer way to say it, about what they believe. Anyway, they had a Sunday school and went outside, and off to the side, I've seen about five or six or seven people. They lit. They had the smoking lamp was lit. They lit up, and the smoke was rolling up in the air, just rolling like, you know, I mean, it must have been a bunch of them smoking. I mean, you just see it. So I told him to come in. I said, you know, I don't remember what the sermon topic was. I said, I looked outside and before service and I saw a cloud. And I said, it wasn't a glory cloud either. Some folks can tell the difference in what kind of smoke is smoke. You know what I'm saying? But amazing, to my chagrin, we had a lady that had 5 spurs on her spine, got healed instantly. Instantly. I didn't even know God healed Baptists. Come on here. And one little guy, people fall on the power, that's fine. I don't care if you fall, fly. I don't care what you do. If I lay hands on you, all I care about is if I feel that flow of anointing go from my hands into you. That's what I'm concerned about. But so I don't know, I worry about it, but this is pure. This guy used to help me get firewood, a young man. He said, Preacher, he said, when you laid your hand on me, he said, I felt like I was going to fall down. I felt like I just sit down. I thought, that's pure. You know what I'm saying? Because some folks, you're like, get up. You didn't fall. You're laying down. Just like I had one that was a man. I think I told this story about this before here. Some of you haven't heard it, so I'll tell it again. Besides, I like to hear myself tell it. Some lady called me on the phone and said, Brother Hughes, said, I hear that you counsel with people. And I could tell by the tone of her voice what I was doing almost instantly. I said, no, I cast out devils. I figured I might as well just get rid of it before it starts. I cast out, well, can I come and see you? I said, well, yeah, you can come, but you can come unless my wife's there. I'll let me call her. Because I just had that sense. And she come through the door. If she had had on 3 Band-Aids, it had been more than what she had on. And what was worse than that, it looked like 10 pounds of mud in a 2-pound sack. And I thought, God, I'm going to sit you and look at this woman. I don't even want to look at her. I mean, scary. You know. And so I'm just sitting there, Brother Dalton, and I look weird. I sat down in a seat, in my seat, and you got that little thing on the side where you can lower it down, and I lowered it down. It was as low as I could get, and just looked across the top of that desk. I saw as less of her as I had to see.
And she said, now I'm saved, and I'm full of the Holy Ghost, and I love God. I said, no, you ain't. You're full of devils. You need to be set free. Huh? That's the issue. I had a story I was going to tell go along with that, but I'll remember it at the end of the service, and I'll put it in then, and you don't know what I'm talking about. But yeah, well, we're there. I worked as assistant to the dean when I went to Bible school. I had a young man from India got messed up in a situation with a girl. When we took a survey of that, she said, I came for this purpose. Why do we need fire in the pulpit? Because we need it in the pew. And any time you have fire, you have a purging process. Are you listening? Now, I was talking about that laying on the floor, and I told you I'd get the rest of the story in a minute. It just took a while for it to kick in. When we pray, she stayed in the church for the longest kind of time, and you ladies know when you wear a dress that you got to sit properly. You understand that if you're a lady. And so you don't just sit down and cross your leg like that, and you dress up to your hips. And there she was doing that stuff. And I had a man, and this is the kind of stuff that have been going on. I mean, this kind of stuff happens, really. And she just... I had a preacher from Dominic. He prayed for her. She fell in the floor and laid there and was doing this. I don't know if she's playing the piano or what, but mumbling or something. I thought, get out of here. I just leaned down, did what a nice prophetic pastor ought to say and do. I said, when you get up, leave the church and don't come back till you get ready of being a fool. Get rid of getting tired of being a fool. I said, you ain't no playing no games, boy. No playing no games. Okay, all right. I'm just getting started. Fire! Fuego! The Spanish word is fuego. Say fuego.
Fuego.
Say it louder.
Fuego.
I want some fuego.
Fuego.
Frio is cold. And I don't want you saying that. Fuego. You're going to get some fuego. And it's going to burn, and it has a purging process. It has a cleaning process. Now, let me show you what I mean by that. I know to go to these verses in Isaiah 6. I want you to go there with me, please. I have butchered this sermon that I had prepared. And there's no way I could find a place to get back into it. And so I'm going to do. Now, I want you to notice something. That there in Jeremiah 5:14, where he said the fire is going to consume, there's a multiple meanings for the word consume, but consume does not necessarily, it can mean in the Hebrew, but it does not necessarily mean he's going to destroy. But you can talk about this passion, Brother Alan talked about, you can be consumed with the fire and the zeal of his passion. Jesus was a man of zeal. He said it eat him up. It means in one way it consumed his whole entire being. Well, if we're going to lay hold on to something that's going to make a difference to humanity, the world's got all the problems. The church has got all the problems the world has. But a church also has the solution. But many times we live way beneath what the solution has been provided for us to have. We need to stand up and let the fire of God consume you till you're a walking fire. I mean, you are a walking fire. You people get next to you, they're going to get burnt. Let me show you something in Isaiah 6. Stay on the train of thought. I love these scriptures. Here's something I want to point out right from verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, he was the leader of that day, King Uzziah died. I saw the Lord sitting up on the throne and high and lifted up, and dream filled the temple. Now, let me say this. Hard for the little possums to get up a tree when the big possum's in the way. You got ministry that gained a national status, but they do not exhaust their frame in telling the truth. They've been given a platform that to say some things, but you got to listen. You got to realize. I don't think everybody ought to be abusive, brutal. It's not what I'm trying to say. I'm just saying that you got to really listen, because they're not saying anything that has any. It sounds good to the ear. It sounds good to every way you hear it, but it is not producing anything in you. It's not producing passion. It's not producing a fire. It's not producing any kind of a move of God. You need to really pay attention to what you're listening to, because you become what you hear. You take heed to what Jesus said, take heed to what you hear and take heed to how you hear. Pay attention. It's not that I want to make you suspicious of everybody. That's not our intent, and never would be. But at the same time, we ought to be suspicious. You'll be dumb. You can dumb down if you want to and say, well, I don't want to say that. But see, the devil has us under this guise, I guess. I'm looking for the right way to say it. I'm afraid to judge anything. Well, I understand what he says in Matthew when he says, judge not that you be not judged. That means I don't condemn, send you to hell. I'm the judge, jury, and the executioner. I don't have the right to do that. I don't know the motive behind why, but at the same time, we often say judge the fruits, but there's some. But when you go to 1 Corinthians 14, Paul, who talked to the church at Corinth, says concerning the prophets, and I'm speaking specifically about that, is you need to judge what's being said. Judge it, he said. What's that mean? That means judge it. Evaluate it. You know, as a pastor, I had people come into the church that I didn't know, and I don't know them. I don't know anything about them. I don't know where they stand. And they want to prophesy to people. I said to my people, I said, wait a minute. I said, well, if you go prophesy, wait a minute. Let's go let the pastor hear it, or find some mature saint and let them hear it, and let that be. And we're going to judge what you say. That would cut down on the sidewalk prophets right away. Huh? Because you love truth, right? You want your truth, right? You don't want to be deceived and lose out with God, right? Well, you better pay attention to what I'm saying to you. Huh? I'm not the authority of your life. God is. But at the same time, I have a responsibility to say to you, I didn't plan on saying none of this. This is coming from a whole different world. Hallelujah. Amen. Blame it on the Holy Ghost, I guess, if you want to blame it on somebody. But watch this. He says, see, it's in order for God to get people where they need to be, he's going to have to move some of the big possums in the tree. Now, we've had all of our fathers in the Lord, major fathers we had in the Lord, like Dr. Summerall, Dr. Kenneth Hagin, various ones, Moore Sorello, different ones have been effective as fathers in the earth. They've been removed. I said to the Lord, what are we going to do? We don't have no father. He said, be one. Well, you ought to be glad I ain't your father. I'll smack you around. Hallelujah. Amen. There's some that do. Some have said it, and they want to do it. And I say what I need to say when I need to say it. I don't say it unless the Lord tells me to say it. But in order for God to give what he's about ready to show us, he had to move some things to get it out of the way so he could do it. Now, let me tell you this. As long as we have a father over us and the Lord, we'll depend on them and what they say and how they do it. And we won't seek God for ourselves, and we won't find out what God wants. And I said to the Lord, he said, you step up and be one. You step up and be one. I said all the generals was gone. I remember this as clear, sitting right in Greg Rose Church in Springfield, Illinois, where we got acquainted with the Garners. And I said to the Lord, I'm sitting there praying, and the Lord said, stand up on your feet. Now, I'm very careful about saying this. I haven't said this to maybe one or two people in 25 years. Stand up on your feet. And I said, scared me. Because I knew he said it. And he said, what he commissioned, I'm going to say, I'll go this far. He said, I commissioned you to blank, 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 and you don't need to know. But anyway, I'll commission you for that. That scared the living daylights out of me. I hadn't said a word about that. But I picked up a phrase in South America last year from one of the politicians over there, one of the families of politician. Now is the time. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, now is the time. Now is the time for you to be put in the position, the place you need to be. Now is the time for you to get where you need to be, get some things straightened out in your life. Now is the time for the move of the supernatural and the miracle working power of God. And it's going to be something that no man can do. Miracles are not something you can do. It's not something that somebody calls a miracle. It's something that God does and God alone can do. Nobody else can do it. And nobody can take the credit for it. Only God can do it. And that's coming to the body of Christ with signs and wonders, providing they hear the voice of the Holy Ghost and obey what the Spirit of God said and say what the Spirit of God said say. Well, you say, I might lose some friends. You didn't have them to begin with. They just said they were your friends. Anybody want to tell you the truth? It's not your friend. Now, I grant you that we can say it a whole lot better and a whole lot easier and a whole lot nicer. We can do that. We can all learn that. I could learn it. I've learned some things. You ought to knew me when I first started. That was brutal. I didn't mean to be brutal. I had a good intention. I had my heart was to help people. My heart's always been to help people. I've had people say, "Man, you don't love me. You don't love me." I said, "Well, I want to say, well, I didn't have one way or another. But now that you're talking, I probably don't. But no, I'm sorry." I just couldn't pass at that moment. It was such a good moment. Amen. Above all, now here he is, the man that's in the way is out of the way. It's in the year that he died. God's got him where he wants him. And the Bible said his train or his glory filled the temple. Now above it stood the seraphim. The seraphim is the fiery ones. The word there for in the Hebrew is the fiery ones. They are the angels of fire. All angels have that capability, I suppose, but there's certain ones that are there. And these are related or connected with praise. It's about five after, so give me just a few minutes, and I'll try to find a caboose. Above it stood the seraphims, the glory. He saw the throne of God, the Lord sitting on it. He saw there. Now, what is about ready to happen is, what he's going to say and what he's going to tell us come as a result of being there in the fiery presence of God. Mm-hmm. Meaning this, that what we need to find out is what God is saying, we find out in the throne room. Yes. And we stay there until we get it. Yes. And don't come out until we get it. Amen. And then when we come out, say what he said for us to say, it works every time. Every time.
I've never seen one major miracle ever happen in our ministry that didn't happen as a result of God saying to me in, a time of prayer, this is what's going to happen tonight. And this is what I want you to do. This is what I'm instructed you. Jesus did it. I don't do nothing except I see the Father do it. Where do you see that? At the throne. And so he said, above it stood the seraphims. Each had six wings. Twain he covered his face. Twain he covered his feet. And twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, 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 all right, holy, Lord God Almighty. In other words, he just got so caught up in the, because they're flying around the throne, they're seeing something about God that they've never seen, because angels are not omniscient. They're smarter than we are, but they're not omniscient. They don't know everything. So they're seeing some facet of God in his glory that they've never seen before, and that's why they're saying, they say it like we do down south, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. Huh? Are we listening? And the whole earth is full of his glory. Is that right? Is the glory of God in the earth? Are you going to tell the difference if you don't make the rapture? You'll know the difference. You will see what it's like without the glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him. Notice that? The post shook. It shook under the power of God. I've seen one or two times when this kind of thing has happened on an individual basis. We prayed for a man that was dying, and the power of God came on him, and there was a guy standing over there, turned white as a sheet. That bed began to shake, roll, and rock, and I thought to my God, what have I tapped into here? It shook under the power of God. Well, it's not unscriptural, because the Bible said it shook. The Philippian jail shook. What are you going to do when you think you're having an earthquake in here? It's just the Holy Ghost. I'll tell you what some folks are going to do. They're going to get out of here. Because we can't discern something sometimes. But you're not on an earthquake fault. Don't worry about it. Let it shake. I told them in South America one year, I said, Elvis didn't create the shaking. He said, there's a whole lot of shaking going on. Elvis and his pelvis, and it wasn't the shaking. The Bible started the shaking. Hallelujah. Shook it. Amen. Then said I, watch what happens. You're in the glory. You are the fiery ones are. The holiness of God is here. And he said, woe is me. The right words. The right words. You couldn't say anything any better. Huh? Woe is me, for I am, all of a sudden, he's in the glory of God. He's in the presence of God. And all of a sudden, he sees how sinful he is. Listen, if we're going from glory to glory, then there means there's some space in between. And then when we go, and that space in between is God dealing with us, showing us how that we can enter into the next level. Which basically means I've learned from revival, having preached one for a long periods of time, is that there's continuous unfolding. Revelation is progressive. It means that there's always a continuous unflowing and more. And the Bible said, draw nigh unto God, and he'll draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, your sinners, and purify your heart, you're double-minded. And so what happens in that drawing nigh unto God, when you're in the presence of God, it begins to ignite the passion and the fire, but at the same simultaneous time, it begins to bring a revelation of things that you need to correct so that you can go deeper in. Because I'm going to tell you something, what's going to make eternity, eternity, hallelujah, I feel like running, glory to God. What's going to make eternity, eternity is that there's going to be a continuous revelation of God when you get to heaven. You thought you knew all there was to know about him, and glory to God, he shows you something you never seen before. And you know what it causes you to do? Fall back on your heels and say, hallelujah, glory. Glory to God, you're wonderful. I'm preaching better than you're shouting. Hallelujah. That's what you see. The thing about a fire is it's a kind of a dull light. When I died, I saw it like that. And my mother and my grandfather were there in the archway. And I saw it like that. That's all the level God let me see. But it's real. Hallelujah. Just like, and I'm like Jeremiah, just like fire shut up in my bones. I know I sit around like I'm dead half the time, but I'm alive, burning down on the inside. Just because I got snow on the roof, very little of it, but as long as I got snow on the roof, that don't mean I don't have fire in the oven. Hallelujah. Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you out there? Amen. Woe is me. I'm a man. And God's got a remedy for that. Once we come to the realization that that we need to deal with things in our life, and we just put them aside. And I've done it. I admit it. I've just said, well, I ain't going to deal with that right now. I don't want to deal with that right now. And the Lord said, well, he just brings it right back. I don't know how he deals with you, but he speaks something to me. And every morning I wake up, and the first thing he says to me is that. And then all through the day, he keeps dealing with me with that. And finally, I guess, all right, I'll deal with it. I should have dealt with it right up front. But depends on what level of glory you got going on in your life, suppose. I don't know where to put that. But he said, all of a sudden, Isaiah saw that he was unclean. In other words, what he saw God do. Now here's an important thing I want you to see about this. If your heart is right and pure and hungry for the thing of God, God will allow you to see things just like this and correct you on the go. It's called on-the-job training. Huh? It doesn't mean you have to come to a state of perfection where you think, well, hallelujah, now I'm ready with the glory of God. No, none of us are ready with the glory of God. I've seen the glory of God. I always feel the same way when I see the glory of God. You feel so humbled. You think, God, why do you come like this? What made this happen? I mean, I didn't do anything particular. How come? The last place we pastored in the will of God, we had a move of God like that on Sunday morning for well over a year. You just come into the presence of God. Just come into the presence of God. And I said to the Lord, what do we do? What do we do? He never did answer me. Because he figured I'd mess it up probably. But he just decided to come. Well, I'm going to say something to you. Now, I've been coming here for 2 years. And I love you. And I wouldn't hurt you for nothing. I certainly wouldn't hurt the pastors, nothing that they're doing. But just in the last, I told my wife, I said, last Sunday, I think, and then Wednesdays, a couple of Wednesday nights, I can tell you there's been a release of a revival spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. And I don't know what's going to happen out of all of that, but I can sense that moving. I can just sense it because I've been there before, and you know what I'm saying? At least if I'm understanding right. Well, what are we going to do with that? You're going to pursue it. You can get a red hot passion and pursuit going on inside of you, glory to God, and you're going to press yourself into that glory cloud, and you're going to get to the throne of God. You're going to see the glory of God. You're going to see the angels of God. And by the way, the angels of God are involved in separating the tares, so they're working right now.
Amen.
They're pulling stuff out from under the cover so that we can see the things that are detrimental to us and stay away from it. Let me tell you something. You don't receive what a man says he is or a woman. You receive what they really are. So if you set yourself under something that's wrong, you're going to get what they got. And then when you start having a move of God, that's going to come to the surface, and you're going to do one or two things. Either you're going to repent of it, get it straightened out, or you're going to fight the move of God. Oh, thank you, Brother Hughes, for preaching this wonderful message. I'm so glad. Hallelujah. Amen. And so I know it's hard to hear. I didn't plan on preaching this. I had something totally different in my. You can come and look at my notes if you want to, if you need verification. Amen. So it's like fire. He's in the middle of fire. He's in the middle of the glory of God. Let's back over one more chapter and we'll quit with these verses. I promise you we will. Chapter 4. And watch what he said here. The glory of God manifests as smoke. The glory of God manifests as shining. A glory of God can manifest as a cloud. It can manifest as a bright, shining cloud, light. It can manifest various different ways throughout the Bible. We can just go down the list. But in this case, he's telling us what's going to happen. It's a prophetic word taking place. When the verse 4 of chapter 4, verse 4 and 5, he said, when the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit, now watch this, of judgment, that's one parallel line, and the spirit of burning is fire, because you can't burn unless you have fire. You know what I'm saying? And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place. Look at yourself and say, that's me. Or touch yourself and say, that's me. That's me. You're the dwelling place. Does God dwell in you? I don't believe you. I said, did God dwell in you?
Yes.
You know who you have on the inside of you?
Yes.
Who is that on the inside of you?
Jesus.
Jesus, God, the Holy Ghost, and Him, they're all God. You've got him on the inside. Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. That's right. Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Oh, what. I got too high for myself to sing it. What a change. Hallelujah. Amen. Change, a dwelling place. It's a place of God. See, I don't think folks realize that. I don't think we as God's people just don't realize sometimes we're looking off, oh, God, you're way up in heaven, and I need you to help some. And he said, just turn your head down and look on the inside. That's where I'm dwelling. Amen. Hallelujah. Look down in here, in your belly. Amen. Or else you can't quote that scripture, the greater one dwells on the inside. Right. If you ain't dwelling there, you better respond when I give an altar call here in a minute. All right, now, I'm going to give one some. Before 6 tonight, the shining of, he said, I'm going to read it again. And the Lord shall create upon every dwelling place of in Mount Zion, that's us, Mount Zion, and upon her assemblies, that's this corporate body, a cloud and a smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. Lift your hand and say, God, do that here. Yeah, do it here, Jesus. We want you to do that here. Come on, convince God. You got to show him you really want it. Hey, I want it, God. I want it. Amen. Stand up on your feet and get your hands up in there. Amen. And tell God, I want that flame of fire. I want you to come. I want that glory of God upon my life. I need that glory of God on my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God. Hallelujah. And we'll take the judgment that we need and the burning that we need in order to get in a position that we can have all of that shining glory up on us. Is that right? Will we do that? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you right now for the power of God that's present in this place. We thank you for the Holy Ghost, who is the teacher of the church. We believe that he has said what he wants to say, no more, no less, and help your people to discern what you were saying to them out of all of this message. In the name of Jesus. Give just a little bit more of that. Yeah. You don't have to sing the old song, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior, for I'm not going to pass you by, but I'm going to move upon you. I've initiated the move of God, and your prayers and your faith and your desire has penetrated that realm of darkness, and the trickling will begin as a trickling of light that will fall upon you and begin to shine upon your way. You'll not understand how it happened, but I'll come suddenly to my temple, and I will do a mighty work of God, because I have many in this region that need to see a demonstration of power, and even some in this place today who need to see a demonstration. And you will see demonstration, and you will learn by example and by precept. Line upon line, you'll get precept, and move upon move, flow upon flow, and wave upon wave of the glory and presence of God is coming upon you. Yes, even now has begun. And therefore, begin to focus your attention on the fact that it is accomplished, and that you have made a decision, and you will adjust yourself to that which I am doing, because I am going to pour out of my power and my anointing and my glory, and I'm going to do signs and wonders, and as you hear and obey my voice, I will perform that which I spoke to you as you speak that forth, and it will come to pass because I have released corporate faith for that to happen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. I have ordained that you do the works of God. I have released the anointing of God for you to do the works of God. You need to wait in my presence, but as you wait, you will hear me say, go do this, pray for this one. And it shall amaze you what will happen as you obey. Because I have released upon this congregation a moving of my spirit, a moving of my power, a moving of demonstration and manifested power. And it will begin to produce the works of God in and through you, because I said in my word, you shall lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover. And so therefore, let your hands be a transmission station for my power and my glory. And as you do that, my power will flow through you and the works of God will begin to function and operate. And I'll draw the lost unto me. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. Ooh, glory to God. I'm going to just do it this way. I'm not going to pray for every one of you. It's been a little old time, but that's okay. We forget time. When you get a move of God, you just need to forget time. God, you might as well forget, throw the clock away, because God's going to move in His time, in His way. But you want God to use you to perform the works of God, and you want His anointing flowing through you. You want, and of course, pastors pray for you. You've got the fire on you. And so some of you weren't here Wednesday night, but you'll get that as well. If you weren't here, you'll get that. I want you to come stand before the Lord. If you want God's fire, you want God's power, you want that anointing, I want you to come. And come with the intent in your mind that you're going to correct anything that would stand in the way. Amen. Just like Isaiah, whoa, you're in the come and get your hands up, because the Holy Ghost, there's a band of angels in this place. Hallelujah. And God is using them, assigning them to for you. Hallelujah. And they're going to touch up on you. Amen. God, you see your people. You see their hunger. You see their desire. You are a good God. You are a good God. Hallelujah. Let the anointing come upon them fresh and anew. Put the power in their hand. Hallelujah. Anoint them with new power in the name of Jesus, and new fresh anointing. Thank God for all of that. Hallelujah. Now we're going to do something just a little bit different here in just a minute. Amen. But get your hands right up in the glory, because the glory of God's down upon us. I know it's down upon us. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. But hallelujah. Now, how many of you believe God's anointed your hands? All right. God might lead you to a certain one, but I want you to start laying hands on one another, because the way you get it to work is to work it. Amen? Yeah, so find you somebody you feel led of the Lord to lay hands on, or just lay hands on somebody one way or another, and let the power of God come out and flow through, and be conscious of the fact that you have power in your life and it's going to flow from you into them. Hallelujah. And whatever needs to be healed in you here today is going to be healed. And whatever miracle needs to be done is going to be done in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory unto God. Amen. I mean, pray like you would if you wanted them to pray for you. Hallelujah. Amen. I mean, be aggressive with it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Power's flowing. The power's flowing. The power's flowing. Glory unto God. That's right. Amen. Hallelujah. Touch this young man. Glory to God.